Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen talk radio show. My guest for this morning is award-winning writer and editor, Jennifer Quasha. Jennifer and I will be discussing about her latest books in the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, titled I Can't Believe My Dog Did That, and I Can't Believe My Cat Did That. Good morning, Jennifer. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
Hi, Johnny. Thanks so much. I'm very happy to be here. Thanks for having me on your show.
I'm delighted to have you on the show. The books are wonderful. They're very well put together. The stories are funny, moving, and full of heart. And I really like the book covers. They are adorable, and they just speak to you. Buy me.
I know. They're so cute. I mean, you know, babies and dogs and cats and pets will sell anything, but these are in particular are so cute because they look, we all know about naughty pets, and our covers have good images of naughty pets.
Congratulations on that. Let us start by getting to know you a little bit better. Please give us a quick walkthrough of your life from childhood to the present moment.
That's such a big question, but I think I'm going to keep it focused on the pets. In my life, but when I was born, there was a cat in the family, and I was an only child. And when I was 6 years old, my parents got me a English Springer Spaniel, who I adored and really became my sibling. So she was with me and lived in our family from when I was 6 to when I was 21. So it's really quite amazing that you don't have a human sibling. How animals really fill that. She passed away, unfortunately, when I was 21, and I was, you know, desperate to get another dog after that. Waited 2 years until I was 23 and found another dog, a little Bichon Frise, a little white fluffy thing to join my life, and he was with me for 16 years. So I've always had a dog in my life. I've also had fish and other things like that, but the dog has really been an important part of my life, and we now have a rescued beagle mix named Sugar.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. I find that dogs are wonderful and very engaging, and I do have cats when I was growing up. You mentioned about your dog had lived 16 years. That's wonderful, because a lot of times, I mean, dog doesn't live that long.
Yes, well, you know, small dogs tend to live longer. And I was very good at keeping Scout very healthy. So poor little guy didn't get half as many treats as he really deserved. But he lived a nice long life because he was able to take long walks with me.
Yeah,
we fed him good food, and it just kept him alive.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Because a lot of times when you have cats, it's like it seems it lives forever.
That's true.
Yeah, so it's just a little bit different. I Can't Believe My Dog Did That, and I Can't Believe My Cat Did That. They're wonderful books. So how did that all get started?
Well, Chicken Soup for the Soul contacted me looking for someone to co-author their pet series. And since I've had I've written other books on pets, they contacted me to see whether I might be interested in helping them out with those two series. And that was just a wonderful thing for me. It's such a great series of books, such a great series of titles. They've changed their look over the last 5 or so years, and they're really very current, and the writing is fantastic, and it's just a wonderful brand, and it's a real treat for me to be able to work with them. I feel very honored.
That's wonderful. You personally have written about 40 books or so. So how is that transition between the things that you have done and, say, now confined to the, I guess, the standards or the outlines that Chicken Soup has?
Well, I have written, I think as any good writer does, they write as much as they can because they love to do it. And in order to make a living as a writer, you need to write. You can't sit there and think all the time. So in the early stages, I basically did what anyone wanted me to do in any sort of writing. So I ended up clocking a lot of titles in writing for the school and library market, children's books early on. And as I, you know, as I got more and more experience, I was able to focus in on subjects that were, you know, dear to my heart. And of late, those have been, you know, pet titles. So that's really how I, you know, how I've been able to do what I do now.
That's wonderful. What was your favorite part in putting the collection together?
I have to say I just love being a co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul books. There is nothing. We get over somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 submissions for every single book.
Chicken
Soup has a database of writers, and a lot of times those writers are in writers' workshops or they let other people know that they're is a book coming out, but for the most part, Chicken Soup for the Soul sends out a call out to all of its writers who have been published with them in the past, and people write and submit stories, and it is such an honor for me to have these people spend time. As a writer, I know how hard it is to write and to pull together certainly a personal story and share it with people you don't know, and so many people offer their hearts to us and write wonderful, heartwarming, inspirational stories. And it is just a gift for me to be able to read those from people. And so it's a real treat for me. And I really, really, really enjoy reading every single one. And I read every single one. Every single Chicken Soup story is read at least by two pairs of eyes. And so for me, it's just, it's a real treat to be able to have that communication with a lot of people who really pour their heart and soul out to us.
That's very interesting. So we come to this most important question right here. Do you think there's a fundamental difference between dog and cat people?
I love this question. And it's so funny because no one seems to be able to stop asking it. I don't think that there's a fundamental difference between dog and cat people. If there's any fundamental difference, I think it's between pet people and non-pet people. Because it's people who want to love and share their life with an animal versus people who don't want to share their life with an animal. And so I think there's the fundamental difference. I think dogs and cats, depending on the stage of our lives and what we can handle and how much responsibility we need. I mean, you know, there are people who have one cat, and there are people who have seven dogs, and there are people who have 10 cats, and there are people who have one dog. I mean, those are just different, you know, different people loving different animals in different quantities. It's the people who say, "Ooh, I don't like dogs," or "Ooh, I don't like cats," that I sort of look at them and say, "I'm not sure, you know, we have a lot in common."
So in short, basically, if you want to experience unconditional love, either go get married or get yourself a pet.
Well, I don't even know if you can get it. It's guaranteed if you get married.
There you go. That's a good one. And then if you're single and you don't have anything, well, sorry, you're out of luck.
Yeah.
What would you like for your readers to gain from reading the books?
You know, my biggest thing in life is to laugh. If you can't laugh, you're in real trouble. And the great thing about I Can't Believe My Dog Did That and I Can't Believe My Cat Did That, these books in particular are really funny. There are just a lot of funny situations that our pets do. And the last two books I did for Chicken Soup for the Soul are My Dog's Life and My Cat's Life. And that really went through the ages and stages of dog and cat ownership and, you know, puppyhood and kittenhood and then going to the teenage years and adulthood and then becoming a senior and then, you know, and obviously the end of life. And so you don't have, you know, there definitely were a lot of funny stories in there too, but these books were harder to put together in a way because it's very hard to write a successful and funny story. Humor is one of the hardest things to write. And to collect an entire book of really remarkable stories about animals doing, you know, funny, crazy, heartwarming things. was a tough thing, but I think the result is really incredible. You can sit down and read one, two, three, however many stories, and you can get really hoot and howl after reading some of the stories that the readers have to share.
It's true. I really enjoyed reading both books. I mean, they're just wonderful stories from all different angles, and that's what I like about it. I have selected some stories from the various subtitles as talking points for this morning for us. Please give us a short rundown of each of the authors and their wonderful stories as I tell you which topics they are, if you don't mind.
Okay, sure. I'll do my best.
Okay, great. The first one is, of course, we're going to talk about dogs first because I know that you like dogs, so we're going to start with dogs first.
Okay.
Under the title of One of a Kind, Kitchen Renovation, I thought it was really funny, by Lil Blossfield, I believe. I hope I pronounced the name correctly.
Right, right. Well, this is a great story. First of all, I really appreciate it because most of us can appreciate this, but since I also have a beagle mix, I really, you know, felt in tune with her and her beagle mix, Bojangles, who is called BJ. Mm-hmm. This story called Kitchen Renovation is about how BJ was always getting in trouble chewing things, and he would go to the laundry, and then she would move the laundry away, and he'd go to the trash, and then she'd move the trash away, and they'd try to remove any desirable thing that BJ would want to eat, being a beagle, and they came back one day to find out that BJ had eaten their kitchen floor. So, you know, some dogs you just can't dissuade them from what they want to do. So I'm not exactly sure what they ended up doing, but you know that is. Hopefully it's not something that happens to everybody, but everyone can certainly relate to a dog that that wants to chew and eat. And
you see, that's the thing about dogs doing it, though. I mean, after a while, they're okay with it. The parents are okay with it. If I were to do that, I probably lost my college fund.
That's funny.
Or probably better still, disown.
Right, right, right.
Put up for adoption.
You could do it to your own house.
That's right. There you
but
go.
But not the house you grew up in.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just like too bad. It's amazing. So
right.
I thought it was really funny, and it was really cool. It's a cool story.
Yeah, it is funny, and one that I think everyone can appreciate.
The next one is In the Doghouse, and the title is The Cookie Monster, and this is based on your dog.
It is. Yes, this is. This is based on my dog, and I think that, you know, people who own dogs understand how smart dogs are, and some people understand how stupid their dogs are. So, some dogs aren't very smart, and we have certainly had our share of not so intelligent dogs, but my dog Winston really outsmarted me this time with the Cookie Monster. This is when I was living in New York City, and I was a single person working in publishing, and I had this, you know, Winston, a Bichon Frise, who is probably a couple years old at this point. And I had been given around Christmas time one of those tins of cookies that had been, you know, some of those tins of cookies that are sort of over the counter have that cellophane tape that's taped around the edge. So there's just no way in heck you can open that tin. Mm-hmm. You have to peel off the tape.
Right.
It's like that super tape. And then inside this tin, each cookie was individually wrapped. And this tin I had placed inside of a zippered bag. And I had left it on a chair in my living room covered with a pile of coats, which is why I had forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
So I went off to work one day and came back and found the tin opened, and Winston was eating a cookie held between his paws. He looked up at me. You know, he's had this, you know, a couple, he was like having a great time with his
mm-hmm.
cookie, and I was like, I was like, Winston, how can you
mm-hmm.
do this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out that he had hidden around the house before he decided to eat his cookie, or his fourth cookie, he had hidden around in his favorite hiding places all the rest of the cookies. And even when I thought I had counted the number of cookies that were in the tin, and I'd collected the cookie wrappers, and I'd collected the ones that he had hidden, he still managed to find one last cookie that I had missed, proudly, you know, hopping into the kitchen while I was cooking dinner. So he really outsmarted me, and, you know, as much as I was angry, I was also a little bit proud.
Well, he suddenly reminded me of Pilly, my dog, because he has his own placemats when he eats. And my mom really treated the dog like a member of the family.
Yeah.
And I remember growing up, and this is when I was a kid, and my mom would give Pilly a banana, peel it about halfway, and Pilly could just hold it in his hands and start peeling the rest and eat the banana. You know, I mean, it's like really, really funny. And then the other thing about it, guess what? If anything falls off the placemat, he's not going to eat that. You know, that's dirty.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it's like unbelievable. I mean, the dog knows what's good and what's not good. And then,
oh, that's picky.
Yeah. I mean, he eats ice cream. He could hold, you know, ice cream on a stick, that is, you know, so he can hold that little stick, and then he starts licking.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, yeah, it's really, really, really cute. And so I enjoy that moment. But, of course, as a child, you only have all the good stuff.
Right. The bad stuff. Right, not the responsibility.
Right. So that's the difference. The next story is kind of interesting as well. Let's Play Ball is the subtitle. And the title of the story is Operation Donut Binge by Christy Keller.
Right. This is sort of similar to my Winston story, and that's that a couple has a box of donuts on their counter. They love donuts, and the wife comes back from being out and sees that all the donuts are gone, and she looks at her husband and is like, or doesn't even communicate with him, says to herself, "I cannot believe he ate all 10 of those donuts," and then they go and get another batch of donuts, and then the donuts are gone again. And the husband thinks to the wife, "I can't believe she's eating all those donuts." And finally, you know, after a little while, a couple days, they sort of say to one of the other, "I can't believe you ate all those donuts, honey." And she said, "What are you talking about? You ate all those donuts." And it turns out that neither of them ate all the donuts. That the dog ate all the donuts, of course, and that no one ever knew. It was a bunch of chocolate donuts, and this dog was able to jump up, eat the donuts, and hide all evidence and not look chocolatey at all, and he's the one who got all the donuts. So it's hard to stand between an animal and a dog and their food.
Well, the dog is a spoiled child. That's how it goes.
Right. So funny.
The next story, I think it's a wonderful story because it really kind of connects with people. It really showed the connection of a dog being a little psychic to me in some ways.
Right. You chose one of my absolute favorite stories in the book called True Angel. It's really an incredible book, incredible story. And again, I think all of us just get really changed when we are able to read a story like this and digest it. And the story is that a woman adopted a 2-year-old poodle terrier mix and named her Angel. She'd been abused and she'd come from another shelter as a stray, and she was skinny and shy. And she really changed this woman's life because she lived alone and has MS. And they really are a wonderful couple. And the dog, because of that, because of her MS, is able to go to the bathroom on a wee-wee pad in the home. But one night, Angel just was whining and was very, very anxious and woke Jan up in the middle of the night at around 1:30 in the morning and really wanted to go outside. And just Jan realized this is such odd and strange behavior that there must be something going on, maybe, even though she was able to go to the bathroom and everything inside. So she often walked her dog in the parking lot on the side of their building. And the dog, Angel, was pulling her as hard as she could and whining. And so finally Jan unhooked the dog's leash. And instead of going over to the grass, like she usually did, she ran into the parking lot between two parked cars. And Angel was sitting next to another tenant in the building who was lying on the ground in a fetal position with his walker nearby him. And the man wasn't fully conscious, and it was 38 degrees outside, and he only had on shorts and a light jacket, and he had fallen about an hour before. And there's no their apartment where they live doesn't look out onto the parking lot. There was no way Angel could have heard the man, but they were able to call 911. She put her coat over the man's legs, and literally his life was saved because of this dog. And it's unbelievable because there is no explanation for this. It just goes to show we don't know. We don't know what they understand. We don't know what they smell and they hear, and we can't always just put our finger on exactly the relationship and the human bond that we have with animals. And this is a wonderful explanation and showing a story of that.
Right. I thought it was a wonderful story because, again, like you had mentioned, it's something that if we allowed ourselves to be aware of the fact that animals do have a certain amount of senses that really connects for the good,
right,
then we will appreciate stories like this.
Yeah, and it is a great mystery. You know, none of us can explain it as much as we might want to, or the scientific world wants to explain it. We those of us who have animals just know with our heart about that connection. And sometimes it's really, truly exceptional, like a story like this.
Yes, very true. And the next one is Love Me, Love My Dog, and the title is Destiny by Monica Andrew Kinneman. And this is a wonderful story as well.
Yeah, this is another wonderful, it just goes to show again, you know, that what you see isn't what you get. And, you know, after owning purebred dogs, I finally ventured out into the rescue world. And I wouldn't say to everybody that a rescue dog is the best, because they may not be for a variety of reasons. Maybe you have young children or... but rescue dogs really are incredible animals, and what you see is not necessarily what you get when you go to the pound, because they've often been in such horrible situations. And, you know, just like any human, no one comes out of a prison or a cell or anything and doesn't adapt and change in some way. So a lot of times you don't know what you have. But this story is wonderful because this woman, the author, Monica, really liked to rescue old and abused dogs. And despite living in America, she grew up in England and always loved herding dogs, yet she was never able to adopt a specific herding dog. That's not they didn't come in, the ones, they weren't the really abused ones. So and she had decided that, you know, toward the end, as she got older, that she was like, I'm not rescuing any more dogs. It's been too much. But one day her phone rang, and it was a supervisor of the organization that she often rescued dogs from, and one of them was a border collie. And so she, against all of her, all of saying no, ended up taking in this border collie, and she was a wreck when this dog came in. Bony, neglected, starved, and after a few months, she had filled out, and her coat was had grown in thick and shiny, and she recovered and ended up becoming one of the most amazing herding dogs she had ever seen. And when she saw a bunch of sheep, she totally became exactly what she was meant to be. This dog mm-hmm. came exactly the herding dog that she was born to be, and one of her people that she's one of her friends said that, you know, you have yourself a top working dog, and it's probably worth about $3,000. So again, just one of these incredible heartwarming stories about how humans and dogs work together.
Very true. This is something that it reminds me about is when you give love, then you receive that unconditional love back, and you really draw the very best out of that individual, in this case, in the dog.
Right, right. Absolutely, and I think that so often we think about it backward mm-hmm. in the sense that, mm-hmm. you know, you read, it's so funny when I read these celebrity magazines and the getting married, and it's like, oh, I finally met someone who loves me, you know, for who I am. And
yeah.
like, what you need to do first is love them for who
right.
they are. And once you love first, and I think that's something that that's one of the reasons our relationship with animals is so special, because we do love them
mm-hmm.
first. You know, and then we get, mm-hmm. and what you get back is tenfold to what you give, right?
Right, right.
So, anyway.
That's wonderful. Yeah. It brings us to the last title that I really like. It's under the, let's see here, My Best Friend, and the title of the story is Someone to Love by Pam Free.
Right. Yeah. This is a wonderful story about, and you really can't believe that dogs do this, but they do, and they often do it a lot, and that save us from depression. So many people suffer from, you know, sadness, loneliness, that sort of thing, and then sometimes it can go on into full-on depression. And you know, our lives are up and down like that. And in many instances, a pet or yeah, a pet, any pet, dog or a cat, really can help us through that. And this is a woman who really was struggling, just getting through the days. And she lost her marriage, her job, and it was hard to get out of the bed. And it's sort of the last thing she felt like she could take on was an animal mm-hmm. and a puppy. But she did, and she got a stray, one that needed to be put in a special home. And this dog literally changed her life in the sense it was able to help her get out of bed, gave her something to live for. And she became a different person after owning this animal. And it's amazing that a person can be changed like that just mm-hmm. from the love of an animal.
Well, again, it's the energy that the dog created for her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a sense of purpose.
Yeah, yeah.
That just sort of kicks in automatically, naturally, because one of the greatest fear that we have in our life as human being is the fear of not being loved.
Right, and being alone.
Yeah, yeah.
As humans aren't meant to be alone.
Yeah, yeah. So this is just a classic example where you could get that from a pet.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that connection that you're looking for. So it's just amazing. So what's your favorite story among all the 101 stories? I know you mentioned True Angel is one of your favorites.
Yep.
Are there any others?
Well, I love the funny ones. So, I mean, there's nothing better. What Chicken Soup reminds me of, and what I tell people, is it's like, let's say you have that great friend that you never see enough of, and you're about to go and have coffee with them, or you're going to meet them for half an hour, and it's just such a blessing to be able to sit and have this kind of quality time together. And they sit down across from you, and they say to you, oh, my gosh, listen to this story. And they lead you, like they usually do, into this incredible story that makes you laugh, and it fills you with such pleasure. That, mm-hmm. to me, is a Chicken Soup for the Soul story. That's what I expect from every story that I put in this book,
mm-hmm.
that it is something that I love. So it's for me to pick 101, or my favorite out of 101 is really, really hard. But I love to laugh. I love it when someone makes me laugh. And there are some, you know, called Dog Leg on the Fairway that is about these dogs that just wait, because the woman lives on the side of a fairway and golf, and they just wait for these balls to come over the hedge.
The dog leg, yeah.
You know, they're just, and I love stories that are just truly bring out what dogs are to us, whether they drive us nuts or whether they make us laugh or whether they, you know, are naughty or I don't know. I love every single one of these stories. And even the ones that don't go in the book, you know, there are some crazy stories that I've read that bring me just as much pleasure creating the book as the ones that made it in. So.
The dogs can get away with it by doing something silly, but the owners can't get away with it.
Well, you know, I think it was in this book. There's one story about this woman who got. I think it's in this one with the UPS guy that she ended up. The dog stole, like, to steal towels, and she had just gotten out of the tub, and the dog stole her towel right as she was crossing the front door, and the UPS guy was there. And so she had no clothes on, and the UPS guy was standing right there, and she didn't know what to say, and because she just couldn't believe she had found herself in this situation, and she's like, "Do I owe you anything else?" The UPS guy is like, "You owe me nothing, lady," and went running away. I mean, you know, it's just where we find ourselves in these crazy situations with our animals, and it can't help but make you laugh, so...
Very true. Well, let's go to the cat stuff. I think the cat stories, they are wonderful cat stories. And
yes.
You don't have a cat when you were growing up, do you? I mean, have
I
you
did.
Ever had
I
cat?
Did have a cat growing okay. up. Yes, okay. yeah. My husband, unfortunately, is allergic to cats.
Oh, okay.
So despite the fact we really want a cat, and we also live in out in coyote territory, so...
Oh. Okay.
Unfortunately, a lot of the outdoor cats around here don't have such an easy life. So cats are proving to be a tougher pet for us.
I see. Well, I grew up with cats and dogs, and both cats and dogs get along very, very well. So it was, like, weird when people say, you fight like cats and dogs. It's like, no.
Right.
Because our cats and dogs get along very well, so it's a sort of a weird metaphor, so to speak.
Right.
But the first story that really is interesting is that it reminded me of my Italian foster mom, who is 95.
Wow.
She has a vision that's named Snowball.
Oh.
So that's a connection for me right there. But anyway, this cat that we're going to be talking about, its name is Snowball. And the story is My Forever Cat by Lisa Wojcik.
Yes. And this is another one of those wonderful stories over, like the True Angel stories, the True Angel story that we spoke about before in the dog book. This is a woman who just had an amazing relationship with a cat, and like me, got it when she was 7 and had it until she was 27. And the death of a cat continues to be a hole in her heart because it was so meaningful to her. And she had it cremated and then keeps the cat in her house in the closet because she didn't want to bury it anywhere. I've heard this story so many times. People don't want to bury their cats because they want their animals, they want to bring them with them. And 2 years after the cat died, her child... her son Nicholas was born, and she could already tell that when he was 2 years old, he sort of had this amazing spirituality that he was really gifted in you know, being able to feel and see things, and had this little clairvoyant talent. And one day he was playing in the floor of her closet, and when she said to him, you know, what are you doing in the closet, honey? He said, Mommy, I'm playing with a pretty white cat. And she was just, couldn't believe it. I mean, she was just astounded. And she said, well, what's a cat doing in my closet, Nikki? And he said, she's watching over you. She said she's watching over you, Mommy. So it, just an incredible story again, how all this is connected, and how, you know, this relationship with animals changes our lives, whether they're alive or dead.
Right, right. And I think the fact that cats live such a long life, one can only imagine the cat seeing this infant or 7-year-old child growing up to be a 27-year-old woman.
Right.
It's sort of a weird deal because we don't think about it that way. But if we were to think about it that way, it's quite an amazing feat, a lifetime, so to speak.
Right, right.
And the next story is pretty cool, Lipsticks and Kisses by Lisa Kirkpatrick Mueller.
Right, right. This is funny because, let's see, this cat was a close follower of his owner and followed her around the house. And as she was finishing her makeup routine, she got ready for work every morning and would put on makeup every morning, and she couldn't find her lipstick. And so the cat actually went and found the lipstick and brought it to her. So it's one of these, you know, sort of crazy, funny stories. I can't believe my cat did that.
Right, right. What's interesting about it also, and I mentioned earlier, is the connection that your pet has with the owners.
Absolutely. On every level, too. Every level. I mean, this is so, you know, mundane.
Right.
Getting your lipstick.
Right. And then again, you're thinking about cats versus dogs. They're two different animals, and they have two different demeanor in some ways. And cats tend to be more on their own.
Right.
And yet, they're connecting at a different level.
And it's also harder to know with a cat what exactly they're thinking and understanding and watching. So it makes it there is a mystery to cats.
Very true. Well, the next story is pretty cool as well. Miss Congeniality section. And the title of the article is Guru Kitty by Samantha Duclau-Walls.
Right. Right. And this is great because this woman was really motivated by her cat to become a healthier person. That every time she was in the middle of doing something, her cat would do something to remind her that, hey, you know, why don't you get up instead of sitting here all the time? Or, going in to get a thing of food that she probably shouldn't have gotten. The cat was rubbing against her legs, and over a series of experiences, she was sort of persuaded by her cat to try living a healthier lifestyle. And I sort of think about that with dogs all the time, because you have to walk dogs, and dogs are very much more needy that way in terms of bringing them for a walk and to keep them healthy. But the fact that a cat was able to do this is really fantastic.
It's true. And it's a unique story because, like you were talking about, dogs are more active. Cats are really passive in a way. I mean, they have their own thing, so to speak. I mean, who would have thought about cat and diet?
Right.
It just doesn't connect.
Right. But also, you know, and it's an awareness on both of their parts, right? I mean, we don't really know who it's coming from, whether it's, but it's obviously this connection that they have together that that they were able to influence, or the cat was able to influence
her in a positive way. So that's the very interesting aspects of that relationship. The next one is The Cat Who Taught Me Chutzpah.
Yeah, chutzpah, yeah.
That's an interesting story.
Yeah, it's great. This Sarah Lee Perel has done a lot of writing for us, and she has a spinal cord injury, and basically after surgery, she really had a tough time overcoming some of the obstacles in her life, and She just felt like she couldn't do things anymore and didn't want to do them, but looked over at her cat, who really never accepted obstacles as anything but a challenge. And the cat would open cabinets by putting his paws around the knobs and pulling. And when a vitamin bottle would fall on the ground and made a noise, he would play with it. Childproof magnets to keep the cat out of things. He just pulled even harder to get what he wanted. So he really was an inspiration in his behavior to, you know, help her get back on her, you know, on her path and her and continue on her journey despite such a, you know, a challenging situation. Really the cat that got her going. His tenacity and really was an inspiration to her.
This story reminded me of my second dog, Bentley. My girlfriend and I, we shed the dog. And what's interesting about Bentley is that he is smart enough to whereby you're talking about, you know, doing things and forcing us to do things. And here we want to relax, and he is able to open the door, for example, with
right.
his palm, you know, door handles, those kind of things. And it's just like, hey, you know, let's get going. Let's do this. Let's do that. And it's one of those things like, I can't believe this. I thought we have a dog just to kind of lay low.
Right, right.
And not do anything, and yet we end up having to do more things with the dog.
Exactly, exactly.
The next story is very interesting. Motown Cat by Victoria Murphy. And this is interesting because I thought I'm a music guy. I like music and dancing and so forth. So I thought this is a wonderful story.
Yeah, this is a funny story. This is not the first of these type of stories that I've read. In fact, animals can be unbelievably musical. Quite amazing. But in this story, this cat was just loving the fact that her owner was singing to her. They had moved. And she was very stressed out, and what the owner had moved to sort of be among, you know, nature and get away from a city, and but the cat was sort of struggling with the move, and she decided, well, in the middle of a bath, she sang to her cat, and the cat just relaxed completely when she was singing. So anytime her cat sort of was looking stressed out and pacing in the house, and she would just start to sing, especially Motown songs, any song that had the name Sugar. Her name was Sugar Plum, and especially any song with sugar in it, the cat just relaxed. So you know, cats and music and pets and music. I mean, again, here we are, you know. Don't know what that connection is, but there's clearly something there.
Interesting. And finally, the touching story to me. I think this is a wonderful story. I mean, something that you can really connect with in some ways. The title of the story is The Face Only a Mother Could Love.
Yeah.
By Carol Huff. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a story that's really hard, that will read so much better than I will not do it justice, because some of these stories, a lot of chicken soup stories, are not only in what the story is about, but how beautifully written they are. And this is a really, really beautifully written, touching story about a woman who has a very ugly cat and that no one would adopt from her litter. And she loved, despite his face, and after he had died and she had buried him, she noticed a thistle grow up right near his grave, and nothing had ever grown there before. And as we know, thistles are unbelievably beautiful flowers, but also pointy and hard to touch. And and the fact that it was almost like he was coming from below to say hello.
Those are the kind of things that really touches the heart and move the soul in some ways, those kind of stories, because it really makes us think twice about a lot of things that we do in life. I mean, you talk about the connection about animals and people and then animals and animals and people and people. And sometimes these are the kind of relationships that we take for granted.
Right.
Very different.
Right.
So what are your favorite stories in this book?
Well, again, I think, you know, it's the funniest stories. Because I just love to laugh. I mean, there are so many. Chicken Soup stories used to be really tug on your heartstring stories. A lot of people I've talked to since I've done the books sort of say, "Oh, I can't read those books. They make me cry."
Yeah.
And particularly me. I mean, working with the dog and cat books for the publishing company really try to focus on the funny ones, the ones that don't do that, because those are really fun to read.
Right.
And so to me, it's the ones that are funny. And it's also, one of my favorite ones in the cat book, when we're talking about songs and singing, is the one that anytime a woman sings, the cat runs over to her and puts his paw on her mouth. So I would be quiet.
That's funny, yeah.
Which
that's
is hysterical.
Funny.
I love that.
Yeah.
So that's a funny story that I like, and we have a writer who is just a really funny humor story writer named Gail McMillan, and she's in the dog book, and she has a couple stories in the dog book, and the way she writes about her beagle and the chaos that beagle causes in her life it makes me howl with laughter. She's really, really funny. So you know, knocking people down the ski slope and, getting the tent all tangled up with the kids involved. I mean, it's just very funny. So those are some of my favorites in the books.
Are there important lessons we can learn from our pets?
Well, I think the biggest lesson is really, obviously love and unconditional love, responsibility, kindness, a lot of people learn how to just chill out and relax when they see their sleeping animal. Different people learn different things from their pets, but all of us learn at least one thing or have one part of us that changes, at least one part of us that changes when we are in a relationship or friendship or companionship with a pet.
In what way can a dog or a cat change the owner's life?
Well, I think that when you take on a pet, no matter what it is, how much responsibility, it changes your life. It has to change your life. And I think that that's just the way a baby would. It's not as much as a baby, but it really changes your life. It requires responsibility that you never had before. Mm-hmm. You will see things in a new way because you're reacting to them living in your life. Mm-hmm. So it will change. It really changes human behavior, and I think that's why a lot of people, have to give up pets, because they think that, the animal has, there's some behavioral problem, and really it's the human's behavioral problem. The human has to change its behavior in order to make a successful life, and train a dog, and train yourself in order to make it work together. So I think there's a lot of change that goes on in both lives.
Having pets it's a huge responsibility. I think in so many ways it's much more than having a child.
Yeah. I mean, do you have kids?
No. Not yet.
Talk to me when you have some kids. But it's not dissimilar in what it requires from you. Let's put it that way.
For kids, I would think there's a sense of responsibility, I guess. Maybe for pets, they don't have that sense of responsibility.
A sense of responsibility for the owners.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a big responsibility to take care of another living thing.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
You look at the fact that I guess, like for cats, the difference between cats and dogs, cats tend to be able to take care of themselves in some ways, but a dog can't.
Right. Yes, that's true. I mean, you still have to change the litter box, and I think different cats, require different things too. Outdoor, indoor, how much you're around, whether there are two cats involved or just one, and so much of these things depend on the situation too.
Interesting. Where can someone go to buy your books and get more information about you and keep up with your latest happenings?
Well, you can get our books basically wherever books are sold. Certainly, Amazon is a place I tend to send people. And your local bookstore will often have them. If not, they can order it from you or order it from us. And you can check out, for me, you can check me out on my website, jenniferquasha.com. And you can follow me on all the different Twitter and Facebook and all that sort of fun stuff. So basically, hit your computer and you find more about us.
Do you have any projects you're working on from now to the end of the year?
Right now, I am. I've got a few different projects I can't really talk about in the works, but. You know, this I'm really right now focused on these two new books because they're just they're so great, and I really think they have they will make a lot of people happy if they pick them up. So
interesting. I know we have some wonderful stories about dogs and cats' intuition in both books. Are there any particular one that stood out for you?
Let me see. Well, certainly the True Angel story stands out. Trying to think whether there's anything. It's so hard when you've read so many, and I have 100 and 202 to choose from here, what stands out. But there are so many stories in here about the intuition that that our animals have in our case, I mean with their owners.
Do you think just natural for the animals to have that sort of psyche ability that connects with the owners?
I do. I mean, you know, again, the human animal bond and how much time we spend with our animals. They're just over the years of interviewing people and reading stories and writing articles and books, I've just come across so many people who have such deep connections with their pets that the pets are able to respond to, you know, needs they knew they had, and there's no way the pets, you know, could tell, especially in difficult situations. And it's really incredible. It's a real mystery, and those of us who have a relationship or in you know companionship with a beloved pet absolutely get it, and we're also unbelievably blessed to have that.
That's wonderful. By the way, we're coming close to the end of the show. Do you have a recipe for living life you would like to share with our listeners this morning?
Recipe for living life.
Yes.
Well. That's a big question, but I think that, you know, for me, it's, you know, it's three different things. I think the number one thing is to be grateful. The more grateful you are for everything you have, even the hard times, makes everything better. And to live life with as much love as possible, and to love more than you can possibly, because it comes back to you many, many times over. Lastly, something I've talked about a lot is to laugh. I mean, I just, you know, laughing makes you live a lot longer. so if you can laugh at least once a day somehow, you know, that's a pretty good recipe. So.
Very interesting. Wonderful insights. If you do not have a dog, what would your life be?
Let's see, you know what, I actually can't imagine life without a dog. I mean, I have two kids and a husband, and, you know, maybe you would say, you know, you have everything in a family situation. But my dog gives me something that they can't provide because they're not a dog. And so, I mean, snuggling, you know, happiness, simplicity, warmth, like these are things they obviously offer also.
Right.
But I actually can't imagine life with a dog. And I think Dave Barry once wrote an article in the New York Times about having a backup utility dog. And it's like, yes, I totally get that. I need a backup dog in case something happens to the first one, because I can't imagine, you know, living life without a dog. So.
That's interesting. Do you have any particular favorite breed that you like? I know you have one now, but technically in terms of what would be a, well, let me put it this way. What would be a good starter dog for someone who is looking for one?
That's a question I get asked a lot, and there's no easy answer for it. And it really depends on what your situation is, what you perceive your situation to be in the future, and how much time you have. So, you know, some people are need a hypoallergenic dog. Some people tend, like you said, you like bigger dogs. You know, do you live in a city? I mean, you can have a Great Dane in the city. It might, you might be in a small apartment, but the dog doesn't require a lot of activity. I mean, if you live in the country, you're, you know, a lab would be a good choice because, you know, especially if you like exercise, that, that sort of dog would love an exercise. So it's very, you know, breed specific and owner specific, and you can usually narrow down, you know, some breeds that would work well for the situation that you're in. And then hopefully you'll consider what, where you'll be in 5, 10, or 15 years, you know, depending on the life of your dog, because they will need to go with you when your life changes. Because if you start moving to Asia, then you're going to have to find something to do with your dog. So, you know, so it's, I think, depending on our situations, is you can figure out what the best options are for you.
And I guess that includes to the dog that you're getting depending on your age, because if you're getting it for a child, obviously it's a little bit different than, say, as a young adult and probably, say, I guess someone who is in the 50s, 60s or so.
Absolutely, yeah. And there are a lot of, I mean, senior dogs are wonderful. A lot of people think about getting puppies, but they're, you know, you can certainly adopt and rescue lots of different types of dogs, and senior dogs are wonderful pets to have when you're, you know, sort of not able to offer as much exercise. If you're a senior yourself and you don't exercise quite as much as, you know, I mean, a young lab is going to require a lot from you. So, you know, not only the breed, but also to consider age. I think unless you're an experienced rescuer, I tend to shy away from, you know, a new dog owner getting anything but a puppy if they have young children, just because that way the puppy will grow with the children, just for safety issues, because they are animals. But, you know, depending on your situation, I'm sure there's a dog that's right for you.
Interesting. Very interesting. Well, Jennifer, thank you again for the great recipe for living yet shared with us earlier, and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us. Please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be author Joelle Charbonneau. Joelle and I will be discussing her latest book titled Murder for Choir. It is the first installment of her new Glee Club mystery series. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to FromMyMamasKitchen.com. Thank you for listening and have a great week. Jennifer, thank you again and have a great day.
Thank you so much, Johnny. It was really fun.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.